As Harris surges in the poll, what does it mean for the Trump campaign?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We got a packed show today. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be joining us in a few minutes, as well as Harry Hutchinson, CeCe Heil, and Will Haynes is joining me in studio. We are obviously reporting on the interesting news. I think a lot of people saw this coming as the polls have shifted in favor of a Vice President Harris in the presidential campaign right now against President Trump. Now, currently right now where it stands is essentially, we'll go through it spot by spot, kind of really work through it, but essentially it went from a major lead from Donald Trump compared to Joe Biden to now what I predicted, which was going to be just a breath of fresh air, and what could that do for you? And now all of a sudden you're in a statistical dead heat with Kamala Harris in most of the major swing states and across the board. And this is what these polls are showing, Will.
That's right. So as you mentioned, there was what was seen and even what was given to President Biden and why he ultimately, as they tell us, felt the need to step aside. There was almost no path forward in the polling for him to win victory in November. But now what we're seeing is now that polls are starting to come out, the Harris campaign is benefiting from basically all of the good, positive stories that a campaign would normally get throughout months of campaigning, whether it be winning the nomination after fighting in the battlegrounds of the primaries, and then getting a positive bump as we see a new candidate, a new face, and then we see what will be a vice presidential pick here in just a few days, as they're reporting that Kamala Harris will be touring swing states next week with a VP candidate. So the deadline's not till the 7th of October, but it looks like she will probably name
October?
A VP. Sorry, you're correct. Okay. Of August. The deadline's
not till. These Democrats got some weird rules.
Well, they do. But the 7th of August is the deadline when she would have to have named it based off of their virtual convention that they're going to be holding. But now it looks like we'll know this week, potentially, as they plan to tour the swing states. And we're seeing, basically, if you look at the general election, most of the polls coming out have it within the margin of error. So a statistical tie between President Trump and Kamala Harris. Yeah. The swing states have tightened, even ones like Georgia, where President Trump was far ahead when it was Biden on the ballot. We see he's in the latest two polls, he's only up 2 points and 1 point, both within the margin of error. So we see the Trump campaign now doing an ad blitz of over $10 million to try to stem some of this polling, which we predicted would shift when there was some fresh news, fresh face.
Someone not 80. I mean, exactly. I think that was going to happen. And look, I think that you got a long time to course correct here. And it's not even course correction. Like you said, I think it's a lot of people just excited at the opportunity. I think there was a lot of Democrats that just did not want to vote for Joe Biden, and they definitely didn't want to vote for Donald Trump. Now they're given the opportunity to vote for someone with more radical views, which they probably like, plus someone who, again, is not 80 years old. I think that does go a long way. I see a lot of comments, people are going, I don't believe the polls and all that. And sure, polling in the last decade, or maybe the last three election cycles, hasn't been what it was previously, so there is that. We also are still quite a ways out. What the Trump campaign has to figure out is how to get sort of the media eyes back to them. And when I mean media, I don't even mean media like Fox News, because right now they're doing the coverage of the Secret Service. That's happening right now. Obviously, there's still attention being drawn, but there needs to be something positive, something new to come out of the Trump campaign to get the eyes back to them. Because right now, you just have sort of the shock of Biden dropping out, Kamala actually having a pretty big run at it, and then you're going to have the vice presidential pick, and of course, headed towards their convention. So what's that mean? What do you think? 1-800-684-3110. I know, look, it's controversial. A lot of people are going, how dare you even say this? But I think we have to be smart about this. You got to look at it from all points of view. If you believe in more of a conservative foundation, you have to actually look at what this is going to look like moving forward, if you had a Harris presidency or you have a Trump presidency. So be a part of that conversation with us right now. 1-800-684-3110. We are in the last days of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. Be a part of it right now. We have a lot of you supporting Israel standing up right now, and that's a lot of what we are handling in the news. And our Life and Liberty Drive, again, is wrapping up. The deadline is midnight tomorrow. We're still short of our goal. Be a part of it. ACLJ.org. Be right back. the Secular, we are covering those new polls that have come out showing a statistical dead heat now between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. We also didn't want to forget one of the breaking news items that happened yesterday, and that is that President Biden unveiled his plan to finally reform, if you will, in his words, not ours, the Supreme Court of the United States. This would come with some major changes. And of course, that includes term limits, which would essentially allow presidents to, every president to get probably two picks just based on the time as they would cycle out every 18 years. And a lot of other things, including no presidential immunity or no one is above the law policy. We're going to talk a lot about this because, and Harry Hutchinson's joining us in studio. I think this is important. We know that likely none of this goes through, that this is a political moment. But it doesn't mean it can't, and it can't set precedent for the future, and it's pretty radical.
Absolutely. And it's an essentially political move. So you can argue that law represents the distinction between civilization and chaos. And so with his new Supreme Court reform proposals, Joe Biden, after being cheered on, of course, by Vice President Kamala Harris, seeks to ignore what is essential in our form of government, which is the separation of powers between the judiciary, the legislature.
I've never been able to do that, so I get to correct you, Harry Duncan.
And the presidency. But essentially what Joe Biden is after, I think, is a power grab, which would limit the free exercise of religion, perhaps open our borders, provide essentially unlimited abortion rights, and a number of other initiatives. So essentially this is a political power grab. Now, I think in the short run, you're precisely correct, Logan. This proposal is not likely to go anywhere, except it provides a talking point for the Democrats during the election campaign.
It's one that they like right now because they know the Supreme Court's like sort of the boogeyman.
And as we've talked about these polling numbers getting a little bit closer between Kamala Harris and President Trump, what we're also seeing is that the media is giving her a huge pass right now. It's that honeymoon period. Sure. She's the new nominee. It's a very unprecedented story for any of these journalists that are covering this, have never gotten to cover something like this. So they're very excited and writing glowing reviews in many cases
A campaign. They didn't get a primary. So now finally the news has something to talk about.
So at the same time that you have the media giving cover for Vice President Harris, you have the current sitting president of the United States, former nominee of the party, now doing things that give them a platform forward about, look, you don't like the Supreme Court. We don't like how they've helped out Trump recently. So what we're going to do is put this forward. And I don't think I can get it done during my time here as I am a lame duck president earlier than expected. But now that it's out there, maybe Vice President Harris can if you elect her. I see it as a complete partisan political game that he's playing with a co-equal branch of government to try to rally the base in November to get his vice president elected as president and to carry on that legacy. And we know that she's already endorsed the move, but it's a dangerous situation when they have been calling the end of democracy imminent if President Trump is elected. And now the way that they're trying to tinker with our constitutional government, Harry, it feels like they're playing with our government.
Absolutely. And they're playing really with the fundamentals of democracy. So if you look at the United States Constitution, it was set up so that there were three co-equal branches of government. But now Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to ensure that effectively the executive branch reigns, and they have most of the power. And so, consistent with their focus on so-called threats to democracy, what does Joe Biden really want to do? He wants to ensure that the federal government can limit your speech. So-called hate speech, the category of hate speech, is becomes broadened so that you can't say certain things that are seen as offensive to certain communities. And I'm not in favor of expanding hate speech.
Sure.
But once you go down that road, what do? You limit the right to free speech, including freedom of religion and freedom of speech as part of our political discourse.
I think that brings up a very interesting topic. We have a call kind of on. Let's go to Rod, who's calling on line one in D.C. Rod, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My question is, why the Republican Party, when it comes time to go out there and put out information, we just seem not to be able to put the information. Every time you turn around, you look at the media, you look on the social networks, it's always the Democrats who are always putting out the information to make the Republican side of the House look bad.
Yeah,
what is it of the Republican side? Why we can't go up there and do the same?
Right, it does seem like that sometimes. It does feel like they get lost, where the Republican commentators, or even look, I look at some of the comments, and I'm not calling anyone out specifically on our comments, but sometimes the comments get lost in the important stuff.
Right.
You start focusing on the trivial. You start focusing on personal attacks, whether you don't like Harris's laugh or you think she has something silly to say, not acknowledging the fact that you really are going to have to counter them with something more than that. You're going to have to counter them more with policy, what it looks like, what it means to American people, what does it mean to start limiting freedom of speech. Those are the kind of topics that you'd hope would resonate beyond a personal attack. It does seem like sort of the meme culture of conservative internet, while sometimes very funny, loses the facts. And you look at what feels like this, honestly, most of the time the White House puts out something, it's like the most cringe, awkward video. But Rod's kind of right. A lot of times it is like, but here's the 5-point plan.
Well, and you also have something stacked against you, is that the media is, and currently,
biased.
It is biased. They are promoting these polls. They are showing that Kamala Harris is a game changer for this election. And when people point to the fact that, you know, she didn't get the votes in the primary when she ran, she had to drop out before Iowa. The DNC is very savvy, and the machine that runs the Democrat Party made this choice because they thought it was their best option to win. So all of that history, one, should be brought up and discussed, but if they're allowed to just keep giving cover, they're going to try to find a way to win. This was their dirty trick of 2024, was getting Biden to drop out and put her as the nominee without her having to receive votes.
Right.
Because for some reason, they believe that she is their best choice in November. And that should be, if you want conservative values, if you want a Republican to win, that should concern you of what do they know that we don't? What is their plan for moving forward and pushing her out there as the candidate that they believe can win? So the memes, the personal attacks, that isn't going to counter whatever they have in store moving forward.
Well, it's not going to win over anyone. When you're talking about a small percentage of independent voters, really, at the end of the day, who is whether you're going to be able to motivate people to go vote for President Biden. Now you have a whole group that you can motivate to go vote for someone who's just not Trump and is younger. So at that point, you now all of a sudden the tables got turned, where it was a Joe Biden was the old guy in the race. Now all of a sudden you have, well, Donald Trump is the old man in the race, and you have a younger, more appealing when it comes to the just, I'd say, the mainstream. Because look, Donald Trump, whether you love him or not, you could say is a polarizing figure. Yes. Whether it's the way he speaks, whether what he says, if you agree with it or disagree with it. I mean, half the comments I remember when he was running was, I wish he would get off, you know, social media. Now, of course, that's a small percentage of people, but there's a lot of people that felt that way. I would vote for him, but gosh, he says some crazy stuff. I think that that part is, that small percentage of people are the people who could vote for Harris, and that's where you got to be very careful, because you start going down that path, then all of a sudden it could quickly snowball. So I'm very curious what the Trump campaign has in mind, again, to get your attention off, especially with some of the people that have been floated out there for vice presidential picks, which could be some pretty big names that could bring a lot more people to the table too. It's going to be a tough time. I think a lot of comments are saying, you know, why would you even give this coverage? What about these polls? The polls are biased. They may be. And look, I think we have some of the numbers of the people who voted. Out of the 2,100 people, this was in, which poll was this here?
So this is a new Harvard and Harris poll that shows that President Trump is leading Kamala Harris by 3 points, down from his 7-point lead over Biden in June. But out of the 2,100 or almost 2,200 respondents that were in the poll, 883 were Democrats, 654 were Republicans, and 544 were independents. So the poll obviously very heavily slanted of Democrat respondents, but the independents having almost as many as Republicans. One, it shows you the poll could be skewed. But if the independents are shifting, though, down from a 7-point lead to a 3-point lead, that's where you have to be careful, because the independent vote shifting over to the Democrat from the Republican candidate could be a game-changing thing, which is maybe what they were hoping for when they swapped her out.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be joining us in the next segment. Thank you, Harry, for joining us. And we'll have a lot more coming up. CeCe Hyle will also be joining us. And stay on hold if you're on hold right now. We are in the last days of our midnight deadline is tomorrow for our Life and Liberty Drive. We're still short of our goal. We need you to be a part of it. We're making some real headway, though. Yesterday was big. Let's make today even bigger. Momentum is building. Your donations are critical right now if we're going to continue to fight for your constitutional freedoms. Go to aclj.org or scan the QR code. Welcome back to Sekulo. Tulsi Gabbard's joining us. Will, this is such a really busy time, and we have moments like this where the Supreme Court could be altered. You have Harris coming in with some strong polls, and now potentially a vice presidential candidate that could help that as well. It's just a busy time.
That's right. And Tulsi, what we're seeing from the media currently is definitely a honeymoon period that they're giving the vice president. You can tell a lot on the liberal media is very relieved that it is not Joe Biden running anymore. But we're also seeing them start to cover for the failures as Vice President Harris was in given that task of trying to mitigate the issues at the southern border, where many of the outlets called her the border czar early on, as many of us did, because that was what seemed to be the role that was given to her, are now even clawing that back and be like, no, she was never the border czar. What's your take on the way the media is covering for Vice President Harris now as she is the presumptive nominee?
Yeah, you know, it's not a surprise to see how they're reacting. As you pointed out, once they got the signal that Biden was not going to be the preferred choice of the Washington elite, they all started, you know, piling up against him. And it was almost an overnight switch in their narrative of going from defending him and trying to somehow convey that he was quite capable of being our president, commander in chief, to almost overnight, especially after that debate with Donald Trump, saying, well, no, he is incapable. They were exposed. And I think that we're seeing the very same thing happen with Kamala Harris, is they have a very clear objective, and it is the Democrat elite, you know, the administrative state, the people who have been making decisions behind the scenes for the entire Biden-Harris administration, continuing to work with their allies and partners in the propaganda media and big tech to tell the story that they want us as voters to believe. They don't care if it's rooted in facts or truth or anything at all. So, you know, we have to be very clear-eyed. And this is something that I hope that the Trump administration focuses on, is simply comparing the facts of the record of the Biden-Harris administration versus President Trump's record in his 4 years in office. There is such a huge contrast there of failures in the Biden-Harris administration and successes in the Trump administration around issues that voters really, truly care about. Bread and butter issues like the economy, border security, safe communities, domestic policy, foreign policy, protecting our children. The list goes on and on. And I believe that as long as facts continue to rise to the forefront in spite of this cover-up job that the mainstream propaganda media are doing now, and they're going to continue. This is not going to change. Kamala Harris is their horse, and they're going to do all they can to get her across that finish line. So it's going to require a whole lot of people reminding voters of the truth, of the negative consequences we've been experiencing in our country ever since the Biden-Harris administration took office.
Tulsi, that's one of the things that we've been talking about here internally, and even reading people's comments, they're getting a little lost. So when we talk about the fact that polls are shifting, and we've seen some polling for for Harris rise significantly, or at least even out. There's commentary going, how would you even give this any credit? Why are you talking about this? Or even, like you said, Mike, like, hey, let's maybe focus on one of the interesting parts about this, which is she has a pretty significant record in terms of she was part of this administration the last 4 years, all of her time in California. There's a lot you can actually talk about. If we start focusing on that, like you said, the important issues that actually matter that shouldn't really then impact the polls in some ways, because it's a clear who you would support or who you wouldn't support. But if you get lost in these personal attacks, if you get lost in these, like I said, almost the meme culture of it, it starts to become a concern, because you have a lot of people who will be turned off by that. Either they're not going to vote, or they don't understand the real ramifications here of what could be a Harris presidency.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, ultimately, when you really look at it, people are, most people, I would say, are concerned about, you know, providing for their families. They're concerned right. about, you know, how tough it is to be able to afford the things that you need to, both support yourself and those that you love and care about. They're concerned about the increasing pressures from millions of illegal immigrants crossing our borders. They're concerned about, you know, the prospect and the increased likelihood of nuclear war. These are all very real things that transcend, you know, Democrats versus Republicans. And when they see politicians who resort to kind of the, who are distracted away from these issues.
Right.
This is when they tune it out and they're like, okay, well, you obviously don't care about us and what I care about, so I don't know why I should listen to you anymore.
Tulsi, one other thing that we saw yesterday was President Biden put out what he proposes are reforms to a co-equal branch of government, the Supreme Court. It's concerning to us, as we've seen those on the left attack the Supreme Court over and over again. But now that during this time, while Kamala Harris is getting such praise and all these laurels from the media, that Biden is taking it upon himself to attack a co-equal branch of government and try to change the way they operate. What are your thoughts on this as we head into this election season, that the Democrats are concerned and fixated on adjusting a constitutionally co-equal branch of government?
You know, this really, and I, you know, you've had so many great speakers and you guys have been raising some very focused and valid concerns about what President Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats are pushing. You know, take it as a layer deeper. And this is one of the main reasons why I left the Democratic Party. I talk about this in my book, For Love of Country, is this is what happens when you have a party that doesn't care about the Constitution. And they really believe that they are the authority in this country that is more powerful and more important than the Constitution, our foundational principles in our country. So, of course, they believe that they should be able to dictate the rules of the Supreme Court, that they should be able to dictate and have power over what the Constitution mandates is a co-equal branch of government. Obviously, the president gets to nominate judges. The U.S. Senate has a role. The other co-equal branch, the legislative branch, has a role in confirming or denying those nominees to serve in that third branch of government in our court systems. And what they're doing is basically saying, hey, we don't like the court that the decisions that the court is making now. So we want to remake the whole thing until we have the ability to control it. It's about control and power over freedom, constitution, and liberty. And that is what makes them so dangerous and why we cannot allow them to continue to remain in power.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tulsi. We always appreciate your feedback and your thoughts. And I know our audience does as well. So obviously, thank you for joining us. Pick up Tulsi's book, For Love of Country. It's available wherever you get your books or on Amazon. You can find it there. I encourage everyone to do that. New York Times bestseller. So it's very good. Take a look at it. Thanks, Tulsi. I did want to take a moment as we head into the last segment or last minute of this segment to tell you about our Life and Liberty Drive. And we are only a day away from our deadline, our end of July. You know, can't believe August is here. Back to school's happening. Our Life and Liberty Drive midnight deadline is tomorrow. Be a part of it right now. Your donations are critical if we're going to fight for your constitutional freedoms, defend Israel, and protect life and religious freedom. I want you to have your gifts doubled today. Every donation made is doubled. We fight from our offices around the globe, whether that's in America, whether that's in Israel, wherever we are. You're going to hear a lot more about what we're doing in Israel coming up in the next segments. But it's not just our legal team. Your gifts support this broadcast. If you like what we do here and our media team, need your support as well. They bring you up to the minute news and, of course, opinions and thoughts. We can't do it without you. So right now, all gifts are doubled. 10 becomes 20, 20 becomes 40, so on and so on. Go to ACLJ.org. Have your tax-deductible gift doubled now. We are making some headway. Some momentum is happening right now. We're still behind. Do it now. Second half hour coming up. Stay tuned. If you don't get us on your local network, find us live every day, noon Eastern, on all your favorite social media platforms at ACLJ.org. Be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We got a good second half hour, and we got a full bank of calls. It is not a line open. I'd like to open those up so you can have some more opportunities to get on the air. Let's go ahead and go to Jill, who's calling in Connecticut on line two. Jill, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just agree totally with what Tulsi Gabbard said. Absolutely. I think that the polls, we cannot believe the polls. The media owns ABC, NBC. They own, we know this. We're like in a third world country. We cannot get conservative viewpoints. And I think if we, after, I think people are forgetting after the attempted assassination plot of Trump, I think he gained millions of independent voters. I don't, and that was Biden or Harris. I think people don't trust Harris. She covered up Biden's cognitive decline. And I think they just have to focus on inflation, gas prices, the fact that the border is illegal. I think if they focus foreign policy, Trump loves Israel, Netanyahu met Israel. I think she lost all credibility when she met with Netanyahu Harris and made that a statement.
Yeah, Jill, I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. I hope you're right in the fact that people will look at the facts and they will look at the record of President Trump and the record of Vice President Harris and the history of what you need. We kind of know what we're going to get. And of course, there's going to be this moment. Oddly enough, look, I think a lot of people can say this. When the assassination attempt happened, you obviously saw a huge spike for President Trump. They had to figure out a way, the Democrats did, to get your mind off of that. And what did they do? They got rid of President Biden. I mean, that's a pretty drastic thing to do that. They got rid of President Biden and subbed in Harris, and now we're going to sub in a VP who may be a pretty popular name. And if that happens, you've got to realize that, sure, the momentum is going to kind of move, and it may be, this presidency may end up being sort of like who gets the ball last in a really close game. You know, it just happens to be your team got the ball last. You got the last moment that popped. It may not be this landslide one way or the other. It's an odd time, but also it's crazy to think we just now are getting our vice presidential picks with J.D. Vance, and now we don't even know who's going to be the Democrat. We just now got the Democrat presidential pick, and the election is 100 days out? Something
less
like that? Less than 100 days? It is unprecedented. It is a crazy time. I've never seen anything like this. But it's why the ACLJ is also needed more than ever, because we don't know what the next few months are going to hold. In 100 days, this world could look very different, one way or the other. And you want to make sure that we are on solid footing. So I encourage you right now to support the work of the ACLJ. We are in that Life and Liberty Drive. I know I've been talking about it a lot, but look, these are the last few days. We got to keep it going. Our Life and Liberty Drive midnight deadline is tomorrow for the month of July. We're still short of our goal. But we're making, like I said, some real headway. Yesterday was a big day, but we have some big, big days needed to hit our budget, make our goal, be a part of it right now. We fight for more, like I said, whether we have offices here in America, we have offices in Israel, we have offices around the world, some you can, some you won't hear about, because the work is worldwide. Now, we do focus a lot on what's going on in America domestically, and that's important. We need to be there for you. And I hope you understand that the legal work of the ACLJ is always free to our clients. So when you hear about a teacher who can't pray in front of her school or something like that happens, that teacher's not getting hit up, you know, with a big bill at the end of this. That's not how this works. The whole organization is funded on the backbone of individual people like you that are listening right now and are watching right now who say, I can give $10. I can give $25 because I want the ACLJ to be there when I need them. And not even that, when people like me need them. People with Christian conservative values. Because we've seen that be under attack time and time again, and now they're trying to pack the Supreme Court. Now they're trying to add, you know, time limits and term limits to only because they don't like currently one of our guys said in a meeting today, they don't like that finally, after, what, 100 years, you have a more conservative-leaning court. And by the way, that will probably shift with whoever the president is next. That's how it works, and it's been standard operation. But, of course, things got to change. We got to fight back against it right now. Have your gifts doubled. Be a part of the Life and Liberty Drive. Phone lines are jammed. We're going to get to them. We're also going to have CeCe Heil joining us in the next segment to talk a little bit more about the UK and the response they're having currently to Benjamin Netanyahu and the situation in Israel, and some updates there that I think you're going to find pretty fascinating. Then all your calls in the last segment. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to be taking your calls, a lot of them, in the next segment, so stay on hold if you're on hold. I know right now we have a full bank of calls, and then as I open them up, we can bring more people in. I wanted to kind of shift our attention a little away from America right now and talk about what's going on in Israel, but also talk about how the Western world is sort of shifting in their tone towards Israel. This is with a concern even with a Harris administration that could happen away from even a Joe Biden administration, which was obviously not that pro-Israel, but a Harris administration we know would be even more hostile. You have what happened in the UK. UK obviously had a massive election, really went from a fairly moderately conservative for the UK.
Right.
Here would probably be a liberal, but for, you know, conservative for the UK, to a much more liberal progressive whole parliament. And what happened was, if you may remember, the ICC had issued arrest warrants, or began the process of issuing arrest warrants, for people involved in the war in Gaza, including Benjamin Netanyahu. And the British Prime Minister's office said Friday the UK will actually now, and they were going to, they will not intervene in the ICC's request for an arrest warrant against Prime Minister Netanyahu. CeCe's here with us. CeCe, maybe give us, for people who don't understand what's going on, a little brief background.
Sure. So the International Criminal Court actually just has jurisdiction over countries that are parties to the Rome Statute. And so international law gets a little bit convoluted, but the United States is not a party to the Rome Statute, and neither is Israel. And so when you have the ICC involved, it comes in and says, well, we have jurisdiction over Israel because we've allowed now Palestine to come in under the Rome Statute and be under our jurisdiction. And so we're going to go after these war crimes, these criminal actions of Benjamin Netanyahu and Gallant that happened in Gaza. And so what we're arguing at the ICC, and actually what the UK paved the way for, the UK is a member state, and they came in and they said to the International Criminal Court, wait, before you can decide on these arrest warrant requests that the prosecutor has put before you, you have to first determine whether you have jurisdiction to do this. And so the UK came in and said, requested the court to say, can we submit this brief? And the court said yes. And in fact, not only can you, UK, but also other parties. So that request from the UK actually opened it up for us, through our European Center for Law and Justice, to file a request that we would submit a brief on this matter. And so now, even though the UK has changed governing forces and they're deciding they're not going to file, actually, their request at least allowed us, the ECLJ, we will be filing on this matter, and we will be arguing that the International Criminal Court does not have jurisdiction because the Oslo Accords actually reserve jurisdiction over any crimes that Israeli nationals commit or may commit in the Gaza Strip or the West Bank. That was reserved to Israel. So you can't give authority that you don't have. So we will be filing tomorrow on this very important issue that the ICC cannot approve these arrest warrants for Netanyahu or Gallant.
And this is one reason why it is so important that our members support the ACLJ, because when you have tumultuous times around the world, when you have governments and parties that are constantly being shuffled, you're seeing that here in the United States, you're seeing that in the UK. The UK was able to file initially because the more conservative government wanted to support Israel and say, look, the ICC doesn't have jurisdiction here. When we then use that opportunity to get the approval of the ICC, that we could file as well. Now you see how quickly tides can turn with an election. And that's what we're concerned about, not just there, but here at home as well. That when the new party in does not have the same feelings and strength that we do in supporting Israel, that they will just wash their hands of it and walk away. And so we will not just wash our hands and walk away. We will continue to fight at the ICC. That's why we are filing tomorrow our brief. The only brief that has been filed so far is one against Israel, saying that the ICC does have jurisdiction. They can go after Prime Minister Netanyahu and the defense minister in Israel. But we have been to the ICC before. We have fought for the rights of Americans, for Israelis, that they are not subject to the ICC. And that's what we're doing here, Cece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is we're going to continue to push and hopefully win again at the ICC, saying you don't have jurisdiction here.
Yes. So even though it's very disappointing that the UK has changed their position, because it's very important to have member states, you know, taking the position that the International Criminal Court does not have jurisdiction over Israeli nationals. So, you know, they did. It's disappointing they pulled out. But their actions before the government changed allowed us to step in, and that is very important. And we see that even the change in government, you know, we had the issue with UNRWA and the fact that UNRWA was actually holding Israeli hostages. And this is a UN Relief and Works Agency. And the UK had pulled funding from them, and now with this change in government, now they're reissuing funding again. So you see how important elections are, yep, not just in the United States, but around the world. And we will be fighting for Israel no matter what.
Yeah, around the world this is happening. You're right. The election cycle, hopefully, you can always kind of look to the UK, see what's going on there. Obviously a much smaller country, you know, sort of former powerhouse world leader, but still influential. And we saw that even happen with Brexit, where when Brexit happened, it almost was the precursor to the oncoming Trump election. Now, we're, you know, close to a decade past that. What you hope is you see a course correction. You see the American people seeing what's happening with the Biden administration, knowing that a Harris administration could be worse. But also, you know, I'll be honest, I follow a lot of these social accounts, a lot of conservatives who are wavering on Israel. You're seeing that a lot. You're seeing the sort of more, not just America first conservatives, but sort of the, I guess you'd consider more of isolationist sort of style, saying we don't need to be getting involved in that. And look, I understand to a certain extent saying, understanding you not wanting to get involved, but there are times where there's good and evil. And I think when you look at a situation where you saw the attack on the soccer field the other day that killed a dozen kids, and you go, okay, you can't just let that slide. But we also know that currently they have an administration in America that probably will let it slide, that aren't going to really stand up for the Israeli people, whether they are Jewish, whether they are Muslim. In this situation, these were not, you know, predominantly Jewish kids. These were Muslim kids of a very specific sect. However, it doesn't matter in these situations because, like you said, the elections can have major consequences. So you do have to look. And that's why I encourage people to go beyond the rhetoric, beyond the jokes, beyond the memes, and to actually look at what an administration for either of these presidents would look like and where do you more line up for it. And if you're watching this show, I think it's pretty clear, if you're supporting Israel, which candidate is going to be more on that side. Now, both of them are calling for the end of the war. I think I understand people not wanting to be in war. I think a lot of us do not like the idea of continually funding and supporting endless wars. That's not where this goes. But of course, as we step towards ceasefire conversations, it always takes 10 steps back when there are attacks and the major things happen like this. In the next segment, we are going to be taking a lot of your calls. Phone lines are completely jammed. I encourage you to stay on hold if you are on hold right now. We will open some of those lines up as well. As people go off, there'll be some time for people. I know people are excited. They want to talk about this. And they don't necessarily, you know, Israel may not be the number one thing on your list of care. And I understand that. We have a lot going on in our own country right now, but we can't ignore it. We can't pretend it's not happening. And we can't pretend that it doesn't really impact the entire culture. Look what happened in Washington, D.C. just last week. Look what happened on those college campuses. Remember that that's just a very short time ago. It feels sometimes like that was years ago. But that was happening, you know, pre-summer. We're now at the end of summer. We're what? 60 days from there. And now you're under 100 days from an election. Our timelines get screwy because we've been through so much in the last few months that it's very hard to kind of keep your head on straight of what we're looking for, what the future holds. But that is why you have an amazing team at the ACLJ to continually fight for you and work for you. And that's why I encourage you to support the work. And honestly, what I've always said, if you're watching online, if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble and you're brand new to our broadcast, welcome. Just hit that subscribe button. Hit that follow button. Over 419,000 people subscribe on YouTube. Understand that, though sometimes that can be a struggle to make sure your voice is heard, even when you have 420-ish thousand subscribers, that is reaching more people than are reaching a lot of mainstream news. More people are watching our broadcasts on here than are watching some of your top network, 24-hour news networks. That's a different time. We live in a different time. We have to have an amazing team who knows what to do and how to make sure people see this credible content. So make sure you like, subscribe, and comment in each and every video, in each and every show. Make sure you're involved in that way. But if you are a frequent supporter of this broadcast, you like what we do here, whether it's in the broadcast or whether that is our legal work or all of it, now is the time. We are going to have our deadline tomorrow for the Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. Be a part of it right now. Go to aclj.org. Scan the QR code that's on your screen. There it is right there. If you're watching, takes you right to the donate page. All donations are tax deductible and all donations are doubled right now. You heard what CeCe said. We are able to open those doors sometimes. Sometimes they close. And you got to make sure that we can fight back. Our deadline to file at the ICC against the arrest attempt of Benjamin Netanyahu is looming. And we're fighting in the courts and Congress to stop this administration's attempt now to remake the Supreme Court. You've heard about that the whole show. We fight around the globe. Our office headquarters are here. We have offices in Jerusalem. We have offices in Europe. All around the world, we're there. Our legal team and our media team and all gifts right now through this July Life and Liberty Drive are doubled. And we have some amazing stuff we're going to announce very soon. But we're going to hear from the most important voice, and that's yours, coming up in just a moment. Hey, welcome back. Oh, lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We got one line open and more will open up because we're going to start these calls off. We're just going to go in the order in which they came in because a lot of you have been holding for a very long time. Let's go to Candy, who's calling in Georgia, watching on YouTube. On line 3, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, you answered one of my questions about the primary part. But now I'm looking at it in a different aspect, looking at the Trump rallies and people on both sides thinking that Kamala Harris is lying makes me not believe the polls. So I have two quick questions. How can she be ahead of Trump? And can the polls be researched, checked for what the true numbers are?
Okay, so let's start there. Now, she isn't ahead of Trump in most of these. I want to make sure that's clear. It is just the gap has really, really gotten close. Now a lot of it's within the margin of error. There were times in the end of the Biden campaign where it was becoming insurmountable. One of the ways they got Joe Biden to step down was to say, there's no path for you to win. So now they needed something. So they got Kamala Harris in there. Now, when it comes to how could Trump show up and have a massive rally and Kamala can't, I think you have two different, very different people, two different, very kind of candidates. Two very different kind of voters. A lot of Democrat voters, I feel like, are not the rally type. They may not show up, but they're going to vote.
And unfortunately, sometimes the rally goers aren't voters.
Right.
They'll go for entertainment. They'll go to see the spectacle of it, but they won't go to the polls on election day or if they were in a state where they're pushing the mail-in ballot. Some states actually have only mail-in elections, Colorado and I believe Oregon. But what you also have to look at here, and this is what Laverne on Rumble, who's an ACLJ champion, thank you, Laverne, said, is the GOP have been getting too complacent with the polls in Trump's favor. A surge in Harris's favor will force them to work harder. And kind of, I think, the hope for conservative values right now is that this is too early of a bump for Kamala Harris, that she's getting all these stories at once. It is in the polling. Now, yes, we even pointed out that these polls are heavily slanted. Yeah. The people that are polled are more Democrats, and then it's even independent and Republicans almost in that one poll. But what you look at here is that hopefully she's getting the nomination, the little bit of the honeymoon period. They're going to have a vice presidential pick. Yeah. Then you're going to get their convention, which will be after that. So they'll have all these good stories compacted into one. You'll naturally see polls rise as more name awareness becomes available. We've even talked about how you do a man on the street interview. You may not even know who the vice president is. Yeah. So this natural positive stories out could rise the polls. But there's a lot of time left. And really, the campaign starts after Labor Day. That's when everyone is focused on looking at who's going to be the next president. Yeah. So these things could be just a blip, or they could be lasting. That will take time.
I really want to look at some of those states like Georgia, some of the states that went for Biden and for a lot of times were historically red states that moved. Will those move back? Trump looked like he was taking a big lead in those states. And those are the ones that I think you could see some course correction here, and maybe the Democrats could sneak back in and take it. Let's continue on. Let's go to Chris, who's calling in Nevada on line six. You're on the air.
Hi. I think Harris was just the sacrificial lamb and the easiest way to get money transferred over. I think the real Democrat contenders are waiting for 2028. They didn't want to go in having a loss under their belt. Thank you.
Chris, I actually thought that first. I actually did. I thought, oh, they're going to put Harris in here to lose because she's very unpopular. That gets her out of the way for next time. So because we know she's a loser, she can't do it. And then it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look like we snuck in somebody to replace Biden that wasn't the vice presidential pick. However, I now have seen the rally behind her by some of the biggest names in the Democratic Party and the biggest names in fundraising. And they are getting behind her full steam. They see a path now to victory. I think you may be right at first. This was, as you said, like a sacrificial lamb situation. Now, I actually think there's some excitement. I see it among friends. There's some excitement from my liberal friends who were not even motivated at all to vote for Biden. They were the ones making fun of Biden, but they're like, oh, I'll show up on this Zoom call, which I think is absolutely absurd. But they did in droves. Hundreds of thousands of people, you know, showed up for white men for Harris. That's what it was called, okay?
White dudes for Harris,
white dudes for Harris. I mean, we're living in such a weird time where that is like acceptable. Like, I'm offended by that. That is insane. Let's continue on with phone calls. Roger is calling from Oregon, line five. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. Tulsi Gabbard has clearly stated what's been on my mind for a while, that the focus needs to be on comparing the records of Trump and Biden. Keep it at the forefront as often as possible. Say it over and over again. Focus on the important issues. Stay away from the personal attacks and the name calling. Both my wife and I, we cringe every time when Trump does this. It is petty and not worthy of a leader. Vivek Ramaswamy just recently articulated in a recent on-air interview and an ex-posting that Trump needs to focus on what his administration will do for the country. It will give people a vision to look forward to. And if not, as Vivek has shared, this will be a problem not only for Trump, but the Republican Party as a whole. And he says, always proceed as if the Republicans are behind.
Yep. I think, Roger, you're spot on. And I've seen that. And look, I agree with you, not just with President Trump, but I log on to X. It's like the facepalm emoji that happens over and over again because you get lost in these personal attacks. And all of a sudden, you're forgetting the fact that you have a record you can run against and you actually have a real policy you can run against. And it becomes petty. I'll be honest. Some of them have become sexist. They become racist. And when you have a candidate that is so radical on some of the things that you care so much about, you don't need to be doing that. You actually can go after them on their record.
That's right. And actually, I think the person who was most effective at taking down Kamala Harris was Tulsi Gabbard.
Yep.
When she, most people credit her for dismantling her campaign before they even got to Iowa. And so I think that video should be shared widely by people that want to see how to actually take down the record of Kamala Harris. Yeah, but
maybe someone else should have been the VP pick, and I'd say maybe it was someone who was just on this show.
But you also see that the Trump campaign is spending $10 million in swing states. This is their biggest ad buy since January when it was in the primary. So they're focusing. Normally those ads, they'll be minute-long ads, and they'll be on the record. I think that hopefully the campaign is now focusing on her record to move forward. But, you know, when you had weeks of uncertainty of if Biden was going to be the nominee and now he is not.
Or if he was even alive.
Right. Then you had to make a pivot and it takes a little bit of time to catch up.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Texas very quickly. Mike, we're running out of time. So just give me like 20 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think that it needs to be a both and with Trump. He needs to appeal to the emotions because so many independents and everybody votes emotionally too. And he needs to acknowledge, you know, hey, I know a lot of y'all don't like me, but do you want somebody you like in office or somebody who's going to make the real hard decisions?
Yeah. The problem is like a lot of people do vote for who they like and who they don't like. Okay? And that's just the truth. They vote for people by personality. They don't really care as much about the issues. What I think he should say is, how's your fast food order look these days?
Right.
How do your groceries feel? How does it feel going to the store right now? And you feel like that you're getting robbed every time. And you're shocked every time you look at a bill. I encourage you right now. We are at the end of our Life and Liberty Drive. It ends tomorrow at midnight. And we're still short of our goal, but we're making, like I said, we're making some headway. Yesterday, you guys turned up for us, and I need you to turn up today. Even if you made a $10 donation yesterday, maybe you're like, you know what? I could throw another 10 bucks their way. We'd appreciate it. Tomorrow, we are filing one of the most important briefs we've ever filed in defense of Israel. You've heard about our fights for life continually, and we fight around the world. Though America is our headquarters, is our home, know the ACLJ is fighting for conservative and Christian values in Europe, in Israel, and around the world. Be a part of it today, ACLJ.org.